Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Here we are on a Wednesday, and it's always great to have you tuned in to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, Ryan Thomas there at the controls, and Grace at the phones, and we're going to do something a little different today, Ryan.
We are?
We are, yes. We're going to, for the first half of the program, play a recorded interview I did with the best-selling author and researcher Shanti Feldin.
Okay.
Which she's just always fascinating and wonderful to talk to.
Very smart.
In the second half, we're going to open up the phone lines and actually get comments from our listening family, including you, hopefully, that you'll join in and offer us some of your advice, because we're going to talk today about the surprising secrets of highly happy marriages. So we're looking for marriage secrets today, not as in secret, but anyway. So we'll tell you more about that as we go along. And this was recorded at a conference where I had an opportunity to talk with Shanti. So the quality is not quite the same, but the value of the insight's excellent. So let's listen in. Shanti Feldin is with us today here on Connecting Faith. She's a researcher, Harvard trained, a social researcher, popular speaker, best-selling author of books like For Women Only, and has been on all the big radio programs, and we're just honored to have her with us today here on Connecting Faith. And talk about her new book, just out. It's called The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, The Little Things That Make a Big Difference. And Shanti, said, when I looked at the title, I thought, well, this looks like something that you would see at the checkout counter, The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages. So, but there's a little more to it than that, right? So.
Yeah, we like the intriguing title, though. Yeah, I actually, this is my next big research project. I had been wondering, you know, after years of really trying to understand men and understand women and all the research that had gone into that over the years, really felt led to try to investigate the process of what makes good relationships. And really what we did, it was fascinating over the last 3 years. I interviewed and surveyed more than 1,000 couples and was specifically trying to focus on the most happily married couples, like the people who both independently agreed. If you ask them completely separately, they said that they were at the highest level of the scale of marital happiness. What are those people doing differently than everybody else? And that they don't even realize that they're doing differently, that others can replicate. And we learned some really good stuff. We were specifically trying to focus on the stuff that other people don't necessarily talk about, that you wouldn't know is a big deal.
Because it's, I mean, the happy marriage is sort of a nebulous, right? I mean, is it definable?
It was, actually. What we did in order to get a handle on the people we wanted to talk to were we gave all the couples many questions on a survey, but one of them was, are you generally happy in your marriage and enjoying being married? And it was a 5-point scale, and number one was yes, exclamation point, and two was yes, most of the time, and on down from there. And when the husband and the wife independently taking the survey without knowing what each other was saying, when they independently said, yes, exclamation point, those are the people I want to talk to. And I want to find out what the secret sauce is. What are they doing?
So before we jump into some of the specifics, were there some things, I know you talked, there's the 5 things for men, 5 things for women, but let's talk, maybe just kind of set the stage for it. So.
Big picture. Here's the big picture to me that was really, really critical about what we learned. It is very easy to think that you need to have a PhD in psychology to have a good marriage. And what we actually found was so heartening because it was basically all the little things. It turns out, and this has been true in all the research we've done over the years for the other books as well, it's usually not the big ticket items that cause marriage problems. It's usually not that, you know, somebody was an alcoholic, or you were sexually abused as a child. And those things do happen, obviously, and they're tragic when they do, and they require a lot of work and digging in. But in most cases, marriage problems are usually because you have a husband and a wife who care about each other, they have goodwill towards one another, and they're both trying real hard, and they don't know they're necessarily trying hard in the wrong areas. And so what we have found in all the research, and especially in this one, is that sometimes just some small adjustments, just doing a few little things differently, can have these huge impacts. And so that was what was so fun about this research project, is these were truly little things, little day-to-day things that often the couple didn't even realize they were doing. But, you know, when I talk to one, and then I talk to 50, and then I talk to 200, and I see the same thing in all of them, it's like, okay, this really matters.
Well, let's talk about some of those little things. Is one of them, most of them sound a little too simple. I mean,
yeah,
one of them
exactly.
Was, you know, believing the good intentions of my spouse, so that my spouse has good intentions. And you go, well, really, is that enough to make a difference?
Apparently, it is a huge amount to make a difference. Here basically is what that one's about. We actually said in the book that I think believing the best of your spouse's intentions is actually the only one of these things that is a prerequisite to having a happy marriage. I truly think you cannot have a happy marriage without this. It is really easy when you're hurt to kind of subconsciously think to yourself something like, you know, he knew how that would make me feel and he said it anyway. And you don't necessarily realize it, but what you're saying is he doesn't care about me, right? And what I found with the happy couples is that they refused to think that way. And they instead said, no, I know he cares about me. Yes, that hurt. Ow. But I know he cares about me, so he must not have known how that would make me feel, or he wouldn't have said it. And it's switching to believing the best of your partner's intentions rather than the worst. It is very easy to slip into this subconsciously believing the worst of your partner's intentions. And honestly, and it's not just wishful thinking to believe the best. It turns out that most people, the vast majority, it's like 99.375, some very, very high number, absolutely care about their husband or their wife. Even in the most troubled marriages, nearly 100% of people deeply care about their spouse. But even somebody who cares can sometimes act jerky. It doesn't mean that they don't love you. It doesn't mean they don't appreciate you. And where we get unhappy is when we start allowing ourselves to think the equivalent of he knew how that would make me feel and he said it anyway. Here's an example of that that to me was a perfect example. I was talking to a fairly young married person who they were due to have their first child, and she had planned this big romantic date at this wonderful restaurant that she and her husband had been talking about going to forever and a day, and it took forever to get reservations, and she had planned 6:30. They were all going to be there this night, and her husband took a client call late and missed the reservation. And it was devastating to her because she thought, you know, this is a big deal. And this is a very happy couple, though. And I said, so tell me what happened next in your mind. And she said, well, you know, I was so upset, but I approached it differently. Like, can you help me understand, honey? You knew this was important. I knew this was important to you. Instead of, I can't believe you worked late again. You don't care about me. You care about work more than me. She stopped herself from that train and instead said, help me understand. I know you cared about this too. And she heard that her husband had found out there were going to be layoffs at work and that he felt like he couldn't miss this client call. And he said, we have a baby coming. You know, I can't afford even the slightest hint of anything that would risk me with layoffs. And if she had approached it like, I can't believe you did this, it just would have started a negative spiral. But she handled it like the happy couples do, and giving him the benefit of the doubt and searching for a more generous explanation. And that is, like I said, I really truly think that's a prerequisite if you're going to have a happy marriage.
So is it a matter of just sort of telling yourself, self-talk, you tell yourself something else, and how soon do you do that before you go down this train, I guess, this downward spiral?
Yeah, well, actually, here's what was really interesting, and I don't remember the number right this moment, but one of the things that was fascinating to me was that there was a huge statistical difference between this sort of self-talk, so to speak, of the happy couples and everyone else. And everyone else, by the way, included people in good marriages. I'm not just talking about struggling marriages. I mean, people who are good, but maybe not at the highest level of the scale. You wouldn't think there would be a big difference between the happiest and the good, but there really was. And that's where some of the gold is for us in this. The happiest couples, I think honestly it was 2/3 of them said that they got so used to that self-talk. They got so used to replacing the bad thought with the good thought, looking for a more generous explanation, that the negative train of thought didn't actually come up to begin with. They didn't have to stop the negative train of thought because it never got started.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of percentages, we didn't talk about this in the beginning, but I mean, the survey, I mean, there was a pretty substantial, I mean, on all the areas that you talk about, the percentages are really high for those that are happy. I mean, significantly
yeah.
different, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really wonderful. It is a big misunderstanding today that most marriages are just kind of bumping along, you know, and just kind of so-so. The reality is that most marriages are happy. And what I found in my survey was that 71% of couples are happy in their marriages. And of the 29% who aren't, most of those are just kind of so-so. They're not unhappy. They wish they could be a little bit better. And we have a big misunderstanding about that. And I think that that's something that itself leads to unhappiness in marriage because we're not expecting the best sometimes. But it is true, honestly, that 7 out of 10 marriages, sometimes some surveys have found 8 or 9 out of 10 really are happy. In this case, actually, it was more than 1/3 of marriages were very happy and really having that wonderful abundance that God wants for us in our unions. And so, honestly, to me, knowing that that is possible is a hope that people who aren't quite there yet can have. Because, you know, if they're not quite there, but they see all around them, these are good role models. I can look to these people for ideas. To me, that was the benefit of doing this book. It's very easy, I think, for us when we want to have a better marriage. It's easy for us to study the problems. And, you know, here's my problem and dig into it. And here's, you know, how I can maybe fix this. And that's fine. But if you're only digging into your problems, then you're only focusing on the negative. And instead, I realized, you know, if I want to be more like Jesus, I don't study the Pharisees, right? I study Jesus. And so that's really why we wanted to dig into those, that 1/3 of couples that are very, very happy in their marriage and just loving being married. What do they have to teach us?
Learning some lessons thanks to Shanti Felden's new research in the book, The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, The Little Things That Make a Big Difference. In a moment, we'll discover that highly happy couples go to bed mad. What? Stay tuned. More with Shanti in a moment.
Hi, this is Susie Larson, and I invite you to listen weekdays at 3 p.m. to Live the Promise. We love interacting with authors, pastors, musicians, and you as we walk out this faith journey. My hope is to arm you with the truth that you are deeply loved by God and that He wants you to last long and finish strong. It is an honor to take your calls as we explore together what it means to live a Christ-centered life.
Live the Promise with Susie Larson, weekdays from 3 to 4 on Faith Radio.
Maybe you've heard that Faith Radio's on Twitter. It's an increasingly popular way to stay connected to your friends and your interests online and on your phone. It's simple and easy. It sends you short updates on the latest from your favorite Faith Radio teachers, original shows, and events. What about giving it a try today? Just search for My Faith Radio on Twitter or head to twitter.com/myfaithradio to follow us today.
Coming up in the next half hour, we're going to look for your secrets to highly happy marriages. Right now, though, let's find more research from Shanti Felden.
Try with Shanti Felden, who's written the new book called The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, The Little Things That Make a Big Difference. And there are a number of little things. One of the things that you talked about, and just explain a little bit more, the difference between resolving anger and resolving the issue.
Yeah.
And this came under the chapter, something about go to bed mad, or I forget how that worked.
People always look at that like, seriously? Because that's exactly the opposite of the advice we get. Here's what I have found about this whole thing of going to bed mad, because it did shock me. I wanted to find out what the happy couples did, as opposed to what they said to do, if that makes sense. And it was fascinating. I'd talk to these really happy couples, and I'd sit down and interview them and ask them first for their advice. And one of their pieces of advice was usually, don't go to bed mad. And so I would say, so do you ever go to bed mad? Well, it's a really important principle. And when I dug into it, I found that actually, yes, they went to bed mad sometimes. And so when I started trying to dig into that, here's what they told me. They said that don't let the sun go down on your anger scripture, that creates so much pressure sometimes that you have two tired, exhausted, cranky, emotional people trying to duke something out at midnight because they feel like it's unbiblical to go to sleep and work it out in the morning. And so these happy couples had found that pressure, sometimes they said things they didn't mean, they hurt each other's feelings, they agreed to something they wish they hadn't agreed to. And so they had learned that sometimes it was better to say, you know what, we're not going to resolve this right now. We care about each other. Let's resolve this in the morning. And sometimes in the morning, they were like, what was that about? You know, it was just automatically better. But if it wasn't, they dealt with it. And when I heard that, I found myself a little conflicted because who cares if that's what the happiest couples do if it's anti-biblical, right? I mean, and so I looked at the scripture for this and I realized that in Ephesians where Paul is quoting that, you know, saying, you know, don't let the sun go down in your anger. He's saying, in your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. Turns out he's actually quoting a verse from the Psalms. He's quoting a verse from the Old Testament, Psalms 4:4. Well, what does Psalms 4:4 say? It basically says, in your anger, don't sin. Think about it overnight and remain silent. And so clearly the common denominator there is just, if you're angry, don't hurt the other person. Don't sin in your anger. And we take that, don't let the sun go down in your anger, as quote, don't go to bed mad. And that's actually not what it's saying. It really does seem to be that it's how you handle the anger that is important. And what the happy couples found is that if they couldn't resolve it, and if they were still upset, it was far better to try to deal with it in the morning when they weren't at risk of hurting each other just because they were tired. What I found that the less than happy couples did differently is that the next morning, if they didn't deal with the night before, the next morning, they were much more likely to just kind of let it float away and not deal with it and hope it kind of got better on its own. The happy couples didn't do that. If it was still there the next day, they dealt with it. And to me, I really think that it takes the pressure off, especially of young couples who are just trying to follow what they think the Bible says, to take some of that pressure off and to say, it's okay. The key is, how do you handle your anger? And there really is a difference between how you treat one another and whether you're able to resolve the issue right then. You can say the issue needs to be resolved in a day or two. We can deal with it, but we're okay.
That sort of paralleled with one of the other findings sort of to the end of the book. It reminded me of, you know, Mark Gunger's two words. He said, just, you know, we can solve marriage problems if we just be nice. And that was, I mean, there was a lot of that, right? It's having that brutal honesty.
Yeah, you know, it's really weird how much in today's culture we've gotten into this idea that you should just be able to tell it like it is. You should be able to be brutally honest with your spouse. I've heard that so many times, but never from the happy couples, ever. Did I ever hear anything like that? And I was talking to one woman who was really snappy, really funny. She was kind of a head wag, sarcastic, kind of very funny person, but she had a great marriage. And I said, what do you think about the idea of being brutally honest? And she went, oh, no. She said, you know, I need to be able to be very honest with my husband. You know, I need to be able to go deep with him. I need to be able to tell him when he's getting on my last nerve. But that's also when I need to be the most careful not to hurt him. And I realize there is such a need today for kind honesty. And there is a need today for having the ability to take this most important person in your life and care about their feelings when you're discussing something with them. It is amazing how many times I'll be on the subway or at a restaurant and I'll hear somebody just shredding their spouse verbally, and I can't believe you forgot this again, and what were you thinking? And I would think to myself, you know, would you ever use that tone of voice with your best friend? You know, if it's a wife saying that to her husband, would you ever use that tone of voice with your best girlfriend? Why would you ever use that tone of voice with your husband? And, you know, obviously vice versa. And I think we can sometimes take each other for granted so much we take it as license. But that command to treat one another with kindness that there is in the Bible, be kind to one another, that needs to happen the most in marriage, not the least. And that's one of the reasons, it was very clear on the survey, that was one of the reasons for the level of happiness in these marriages.
Speaking of best friends, I mean, one of the things you discovered was that hanging out with your friend does make a difference.
It really does. It's funny. Sometimes the most profound stuff was so simple I almost missed it because I didn't realize what a big deal it was. And this was definitely one of them. I actually had been noticing that these happy couples treated each other like best friends, right? And what is the primary predictor of friendship? Well, we think, you know, if you ask sort of the average person, what's the greatest predictor of friendship, you'll hear, you know, shared values or similar personalities and all of that. Yeah, that's there somewhere, but it's nowhere close to the main reason why people become friends. The greatest predictor of friendship is geographic proximity. You're best friends with the people that you see most often. And so you work together or you live in the same area. And it's the same way in marriage. You know, we all know the truth of this, right? Because we've all had really close friends who've moved away. And you still love each other, you care about each other, but you're not intimate anymore. You're not close the same way. And it's the same thing in marriage. And it turns out that these happy couples, one of the things that they did that made them so happy was they just hung out a lot. They spent a lot of time together. And it could be something simple. It wasn't necessarily the big date nights, although that was great. And actually, for a lot of couples, the date nights was how they made sure that they hung out together. But a lot of times it was, I would hear these couples talk about going 100 different directions and realizing they just weren't as close as they wanted to be. And so instead of staying home to clean the house, the wife would hop in the car while the husband was taking the kid to soccer practice. Not because she needed to go, but it was 20 minutes in the car together. And that's something I think that we undervalue, is the power of just being together. And one of the things I also learned is when things got difficult in these marriages, because, you know, every marriage has issues, that they spent more time together, not less. There's a temptation when you're in conflict to sort of avoid each other, because then you avoid the fight. But that means you're losing that closeness. And so having this ability to say, okay, yeah, it's not fun to be in conflict, but we're going to try to be together more and work on our friendship, that really inoculated the couple a lot against having this tension become something that really damages the marriage.
Was this more of an issue for, I think we've probably talked in the past about some of your other research that, you know, guys tend to, in terms of conflict, they need to get a little space,
yeah,
you know, and just sort of decompress a little bit and to sort of keep pushing to be together. I mean, that is that more of a, maybe a feminine perspective?
You know what? That's a great question. And the answer is yes, but that wasn't necessarily what they did. It wasn't that they, when they were in conflict, that, you know, we have to hang out right now. It was more that it was a season of tension when there was a tendency to fight or a tendency to have irritation with one another. And actually, it is accurate. And one of the things that I found in the research is that in the happy couples, the wives recognized that the husband needed some space often and needed to be able to get away for a few hours or a day and just, what on earth am I thinking right now? What am I feeling and how do I process this? And to be able to let him have that space without thinking, he doesn't care about me, you know, because that's a whole nother subject. That's basically one of the other things we found, is that's having this unrealistic expectation that if he cared about me, he'd be able to stick in there with me. And, you know, he'd if I'm upset, he'd come over and give me a big hug instead of pulling away. And yeah, okay, maybe some husbands handle things that way, but in most cases, that's not the way the male brain works. And so the happy wives had learned that it was okay that he had a male brain. It was okay that he needed that space. And they didn't take it as, he doesn't care about me. And instead, they learned to appreciate what he could give and appreciate the fact that, you know, the next morning, he always did come back and talk about it.
We're learning the surprising secrets of highly happy marriages, the little things that make a big difference. It's a brand new book just out from Shanti Feldin, who's best known a researcher and speaker, best-selling author. And we're going to hear another short segment with Shanti after the break. And then want to hear from you. Want to hear your secrets to highly happy marriages. I know that you've got some, and we've got some copies of the book to give away. So we invite you to join. In fact, if you want to queue up right now on the phone, you're welcome to do that at 877-933-2484. More with Shanti Feldin and you in a moment.
Talk to one another. Got to learn to talk it out. Got to know exactly what the other's about. But when we talk to one another, just like the Father Abel, oh, we've got to learn to say it, just like Jesus always said it. We all need to say it.
Learning some secrets, the surprising secrets of highly happy marriages. That's the title of a brand new book from Shanti Feldin. The subtitle is The Little Things That Make a Big Difference. And if you know Shanti, you've heard her on Focus on the Family or Family Life Today, or even on this program in the past. She's a Harvard-trained social researcher, a popular speaker, best-selling author of For Women Only, For Men Only, and other books that have focused on a great deal of research and amazing insights. And this is her latest, where she's just interviewed a number of couples that are happily married and getting their secrets. And we had an opportunity to talk with Shanti at a conference center, so the audio quality a little bit different than normally on our phones. But we've got just a few more minutes to hear from Shanti, some final comments. But then I want to hear from you, because I'm guessing that you can probably relate to several of the things that Shanti's talked about, or you have a secret or two, or something that has just worked well for you in your marriage, something that you really appreciate about your spouse, or something that just makes you happy and keeps your marriage going strong. And I'd love to hear what that is. In fact, we've got two copies of Shanti's new book, just came out, The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, for the first two callers that join us and come on the air and just share with us. And so if you can do that, you can queue up right now, and in the next 5 minutes we'll get you on and hear your secrets. It's 877-933-2484. That's the phone number, 877-933-2484, looking for your secret of marital happiness. What has been most impactful, worked for you? We'd love to know. And again, a couple of copies of this brand new book from Shanti Feldin. For the first two that join in, we've got some other resources from Shanti as well. 877-93-FAITH. Let's finish up our conversation with Shanti Feldin.
We're talking about the surprising secrets of highly happy marriages with Shanti Feldin. And Shanti, one of the fun little things you discovered was that happy couples often have some sort of little secret handshake or something.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
This was one that was fun for me to discover because Jeff and I already did this, and I didn't realize it was such a big deal. It turns out that when there's been a conflict or a fight, because even in happy relationships, they have irritation with one another, they have conflict, that there was this practice that they did of having some signal that they shared between the two of them at some point down the road that said, okay, the issue may not be resolved, but we're okay. And I first heard this when I was asking this one couple to take me through their last disagreement. And I did this a lot. I would say, you know, take me through your last conflict, because I wanted to see how they handled things. And this one husband said, you know, and this happened, and she said this, and I was downstairs because I was angry. And then I came upstairs, and we touched pinkies, and I said, and I'm like, wait a minute, you what? And he said, we touched pinkies. We have this thing, you know, where if we've been at odds, one of us, you know, an hour or two later, we'll walk by and kind of stick out the pinky. And it's basically saying, are we okay? And if the other person touches pinkies back, it means, yeah, we're okay. And sometimes the other person says, I'm not there yet, and okay. But I heard that from him, and I thought, whoa, wait a minute, Jeff and I have something similar, you know, where it's kind of a funny thing where Jeff, if he's grumpy, you know, and we're kind of at odds, and, you know, a few hours later, he'll come by and kind of bump me and say, are you done being grumpy yet? And that's his way of apologizing and our way of reconnecting. And I started testing this, and I realized that this was the case with a huge number of these couples. I think it was over 80% on the survey, where they shared some private signal that it was basically mutual reconnection. And sometimes it was silly that it would only make sense to the two of them, like the touching pinkies. And sometimes it was just saying, are we okay? Yeah, we're okay. But that was a huge number for the happy couples. and not for anybody else. And even the good marriages didn't tend to do that at the same rates. And to me, that implies that if you have a so-so marriage and you want to have a great one, or you have a good marriage and you want to have a great one, that one thing that you would, that you can do is to have that signal to each other that, yeah, the issues of the world are still there, but our relationship is good. We're okay.
If we want to have a great marriage, we don't have to do all these at once.
it's actually good to not try to do them all at once.
But there are, I mean, these are pretty simple things that if we could just maybe talk about. Have you done some research on that? In fact, I know you got another book coming out. I mean, is it a matter of just putting some of these practices into place?
Yeah, one of the things that we found, honestly, is take stock of what you're already doing well. Because that's the easiest way to start, right, is to do it on purpose. You didn't know that it was a big deal to touch pinkies, but you already kind of did it. So do that on purpose, and that's the easiest way to start. However, if you have something else that you think would make a big difference to start, like maybe, for example, you hurt each other's feelings because you're trying to duke it out at bedtime, and you hear now that maybe it's okay. It's just a matter of how I handle that anger, but I can't hurt the other person in my anger, but it's okay to resolve it the next morning. The key is to not just let it float away and hope it goes away. And maybe that's what you want to start with. And you see maybe three or four other things. I would really encourage you, based on the research we did on the application of this, to not try to put them all in place at once, because it's learning a new habit and it will be overwhelming. We found that some of our test groups, when they tried to do it all at once, they didn't do any of them, because it's kind of like trying to get into the habit of going to the gym every day and be on a diet every day and read the Bible for an hour instead of 10 minutes every day. You try to do all of that at once, you're probably going to let all of it go. And so this, to me, is pick one. Maybe pick two. Maybe ask your spouse which one he or she would like you to start with. And just try that until it becomes a habit, and then put the next one in place. And again, these are very, very simple things. They're things anyone can do, and I hope people will see and take note of, and maybe, you know, journal what they see happening as a result, because usually what we found is that it moves people into a whole new realm of marriage.
Another great book, well-researched, obviously, is what Shanti does, and practical and simple. And surprising, the surprising secrets of highly happy marriages, the little things that make a big difference. It's new, just out from Multnomah, and we've enjoyed talking to Shanti Feldman today. And you can look for her next new book coming out here in just a couple of months, which is sort of a follow-up to this, guys.
Yeah, it's basically, the next book is talking about the fact that we have, I think, been discouraged about marriage for too long. And actually, there's a lot more good news about marriage than we think. And I think knowing that will help people not have this sense of futility and discouragement that sometimes leads to marriage breakdown. To know the truth honestly does set us free. And the truth about marriage is that most marriages are strong and happy for a lifetime. And if yours isn't, you can get there.
Shanti, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Shanti Feldman, a recorded interview with Shanti about her new book called The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages. The subtitle is The Little Things That Make a Big Difference. And it's just the latest research from Shanti. Of course, if you read any of her books for women only or for men only, or maybe even for parents only, you've found great resources and great insight from Shanti. And I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Now, we'd like to hear from you for the remainder of the hour, because I know that you have some secrets as well on what makes your marriage work well, and what you appreciate about your spouse, and how you've been able to get through, work through a lot of issues. And we'd love to get your secrets. And we've got some copies, actually, the first two friends that join us here today on the air and offer us your secrets to a highly happy marriage at 877-933-2484. We'll give a copy of Shanti's brand new book to you. We've got a couple other resources from Shanti as well, and others that we'll pass on. So I'd love to hear from you. What's your secret? 877-933-2484. It doesn't have to be profound, and it doesn't have to be a secret. It's maybe just something that you and your spouse have found that together it's just making life good, and you appreciate that. So give us a call, 877-933-2484. Again, the first two that join in with us here on the show, give you a copy of the new book, The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages. And while you're getting queued up with your call, Susie Larson, host of Live the Promise and Everyday Relationships, I thought, you know, since you're on Everyday Relationships every day, we thought we'd check in. What's the any secrets around the Larson household and marriage?
You know, we hit a wall in our marriage a little over 15 years ago. And just from running parallel paths, we loved each other, loved God, doing lots of good church things. But we just fried and we burnt out. And so one of the non-negotiables that we put in place that we've not relented from since is praying together every day, every morning, every night. And literally, Neil, that was a game changer, because instantly you get together with God. You get this eternal perspective, and it settles so many things, you know, and it helps our hearts beat in rhythm with each other and with God. And that has been a significant game changer. Another one is just learning to believe the best. And that would be, for us as women, we can be so in the moment and so literal that we can forget all the great things maybe you guys have done over the years and go, yeah, but you forgot this thing. You don't love me, you know. And so to believe the best, to say, I have a history with this man and he might have missed this or that, but he's a good man, and he loves me, and he loves God. And just giving him the benefit of the doubt, huge game changer. Another one, just serving him, just looking in ways that I can bless him and be a blessing. And those have been significant for us. And our 29th anniversary is coming up here in a week, and love him more than I ever did.
Good. Yeah. That's super. And in fact, that was, you know, thinking the best, that was one of the things that Shanti found out. That was one of the kind of the primary secrets that people that's, you know, that are in happy relationships say, you know, I'm going to believe the best about my spouse.
That's right. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And doesn't scripture say that love believes
that's
the best?
Right. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Everyday Relationships on a four today. Just open phones.
Yep. We do that a couple times a week where we say we're going to talk about what you want to talk about. So we'll take some listener emails and listener calls. So.
Okay. Listen for Everyday Relationships at four if you want to get more on what it means for to have a highly happy marriage. Susie, thanks for coming by and offering your good advice.
Fun to be with you today, Neil. Bless you.
We're going to go to the phones. Terry is first up, listening on Faith 90.5 in Duluth. Terry, I want to hear your secret or what's working for you and your spouse.
Well, one of the biggest thing, I guess, is having God in our relationship. And another thing is communication, that having an open communication where we can express ourselves. We can talk about things, always working things out together, never making decisions without really talking to one another and looking at all the sides that we can, seeing things from everything from every angle. And but if God isn't in it, then it can be difficult. So I think that's the most important thing.
Sure. Do you have a time of day or maybe, you know, sort of a time when it seems like you make a point to make sure that you're talking to each other?
Not a certain time, no. We just always communicate. And I guess a lot of it's done around the good old kitchen table.
Sure, yeah. Nothing like spending some time over a meal and just talking things through. So way to go, Terry. Hey, thanks for calling today, and blessings to you. I'm glad to have you listening to Connecting Faith.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Jerry. Jerry is on line two and listening in the Faith 900. Jerry, we're talking about secrets to happy marriages. What's working for you? What's the secret for you?
Well, Susie took my took my secret.
You know,
but she's really sharp. But that's true. Praying together, we took a paper route right here in Roseville. A few years back, well, it's actually been about 10 years back now, but we never made a dime off that paper route. I mean, we worked it for about 2 years, and after doing taxes, it seemed like, it just wasn't even worth the gas money. But what we think that that the Lord taught us through this whole thing is on the way to the paper route, to the station to pick up our papers, we prayed. And it became such a habit that after we quit the route, we figured out that that's what God was really trying to do in us, is to get us to get up in the morning and start our day with praying together. And it is so hard to fight with somebody whose heart you're listening to when they're talking to God.
Yeah.
Nope. It took us a while to get over the embarrassment of praying out loud in front of somebody and that whole kind of thing, but you know, once you get past all of that, it's so worth it.
Yeah. Do you still get up at 3 a.m. to pray, or you're sleeping in a little bit longer?
A little bit longer. Okay. I think we're up at like 5, or sometimes we'll wait until 6, you know. But, usually by 6, we're into it pretty deep.
Yeah. Well, that's great, because that would be probably an issue if, you know, if your spouse wasn't a morning person, waking them up at 3 o'clock to pray with them, that may not work so well. But I appreciate your good comments, too. I was thinking, too, what Shanti said, one of the things that she found out was that highly happy couples hang out. They just, they're just together. And she gave the illustration of someone just, you know, riding along. If the dad was taking one of the kids to soccer practice or something, mom would just ride along just so they could spend time together. So, you know, not just praying together, but spending some time together, just doing the route made a difference too.
And we kind of do everything together. I mean, we've had part-time jobs together. I mean, she's a kindergarten teacher, and I'm in construction. But still, whenever we wanted to take a vacation or raise a little extra money for some kind of project, then we'd take a part-time job together. And a lot of people say that we spend too much time together, but I've learned to enjoy each other's company like that, you know.
Well, Jerry, thanks for the call and for those good words. And, you know, I think it's okay if both you and Susie have the same secret. That sounds like a good one. So glad you shared it with us today. And thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.
Thank you.
All right. Let's take a call from Judy here before we go to break. Judy's listening to line 3. Judy, we're looking for some secrets. What's working for you and your mate today?
Well, actually, we learned this from my son, who is a minister. And him and his wife do this technique. For instance, if you've got two activities going on that you both need to go to, maybe you have a family wedding at the same time as a graduation party, for instance. Okay, so then I would say to my husband, okay, on a scale 1 to 10, how important is it that you go to yours, your event? And he might say, you know, it's 3. I really don't want to go. And this isn't important to me. And I might say, you know, it's like 8 to me that I go to mine. So then we'll go to mine. But sometimes you just really don't understand how important it is or not important it is. But if you kind of use the scale, you kind of get the feedback. And this could go to, like, how important is it for me to go with you? Like, for instance, a craft fair, my husband would say it's like 2 that I want to go. But if I say, you know, it's like 8 that I want you to go with me so we can do something after, he will go with me.
Well, he's
important to me.
His the point scale is a little more generous than mine. I think it was about a craft fair, but no, I'm just kidding. Judy.
But you know what I mean?
I think that's
feeling
great.
Of where the other person is coming from.
And just to be able to sort of put it in a way that's sort of tangible to understand it. And plus it gets you conversing. It reminds me, a couple of weeks ago, we had Dr. Bill Harley on. He was talking about marital negotiation. Sounds like that's one of those ways where you've learned how to just kind of work through those things. It's not necessarily a difference. It's a difference of opinion. So.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that one is right or one is wrong. It's just a difference. And if it's important to him, then it needs to be important to me.
Yeah, good word.
Even if it's something, some of the best things that we've done has not been necessarily what I wanted to do.
Yeah, but discovered afterwards it turned out.
It was so fun, or we really enjoyed. But we also have a little thumbs up, meaning I want to hitchhike out of here if I really am not enjoying this. So it's kind of like what you were saying before about little signals between you.
Sure, the little pinky touch. All right. Well, hey, Judy, we're going to give you a thumbs up. That doesn't mean we want you to go, but we just agree with what you've said. So thanks for the good word today.
Sure.
All right. It's 10 minutes before the hour here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll get to Anne-Marie's waiting now. We're going to get to your call in just a second, and we'd love to hear from you as well. We're just talking about some secrets to highly happy marriages. Want to know the little things that make a big difference for you. And we'd love to have you join the conversation. Got time for a couple more calls at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH.
Real real encouragement for an active walk of faith. Podcast audio of today's programs on Faith Radio in case you missed the show. The very latest on conferences and events in your area. It's all in one place and delivered right to your inbox from Faith Radio when you subscribe by email to myfaithradio.com. Head to myfaithradio.com and enter your email address in the subscribe box right at the top of the page, helping you connect faith to life every day at myfaithradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Are you new to the station? Well, welcome. It's great to have you tuning in. We have a new listener packet that's designed for friends just like you. It tells you a little bit about the station, who we are, why we exist, and what we're hoping to accomplish in the Upper Midwest. It's yours free for the asking at myfaithradio.com. Check it out. It's myfaithradio.com. It's the new listener packet. Request yours today.
Hey, we're talking today about secrets of highly happy marriages. It's based on a book from Shanti Feldman, The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, the little things that make a big difference. And we've opened up the phone lines to ask you what makes a difference for you and your spouse. 877-933-2484 is the phone number. Anne-Marie is waiting, listening in on Faith 900. Anne-Marie, what's the secret for you and your spouse?
Well, I have to say, after 20 years of marriage, I think one of the biggest things is the sense of humor that my husband has. I'm more of a serious person, quieter person. I think, especially as the years have gone on, I just have appreciated that so much, his witty sense of humor and how that kind of lightens up moments that could otherwise be very serious or could lead to conflict. And then along with that, just finding opportunities to laugh, you know, finding opportunities in the community or with friends just to have, you know, good Christian laughter. So I think that would be the biggest thing for me.
Those are great ideas. I just, you know, just the ways to kind of lighten up the moment once in a while, right? Because, I mean, life
exactly.
can get serious. And particularly, I suppose, if there's moments of conflict or potential conflict, just to be able to kind of not take yourself so seriously, perhaps.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Anne-Marie, thanks for listening to Connecting Faith and giving us a call today.
All right, thank you so much.
Appreciate it. We've got time for another call or two, I think, maybe, at 877-93-FAITH, if you'd like to join in, 877-933-2484. Here's a caller from listening in on Faith 1200 in Grand Forks, and their advice is don't compare your spouse to other people, which I think is probably always a good idea. So, and in the world of Facebook and all that, that's probably especially important, so. This conversation reminded me of a story.
Oh,
that
thank
I,
goodness!
That
I was hoping we'd get here.
Yes, that I remember reading about. It's a couple that have been married for a long time. You know, 50, 60 years. Which we had a series in our church not long ago, and the pastor asked people to stand who had been married the longest, and there was somebody that had been married 60 years.
That's tremendous.
Well, yeah, it was pretty fun. So everybody gave him a round of applause, and like, that's super. But so this couple married a long time. They were asked, what's the secret? And the wife says, well, at the beginning of our marriage, she said, I made a list of possible disagreement points that for the sake of the marriage that she was willing to overlook. And so the interviewer says, well, did you ever show your husband the list? So no, she said, I never did, but whenever he did something that would make me hopping mad, I would say to myself, thank goodness that was on the list. Which I thought was just a great line. So. Thank goodness that was on the list. All right. Well, if you missed part of the show today, you just to review some of the secrets that Shanti Feldman found out. She did research with thousands of couples, and some of them were that one of them, highly happy couples, believe the best. They assume that your spouse cares deeply about everything, even when, as Susie talked about, you know, sometimes your mate forgets something, but you just learn to believe the best about them, and you start with that. Say, I know this was I could feel bad about this, but I'm going to believe that my husband didn't do this, or spouse, or wife didn't do this intentionally. Another thing was that happy couples go to bed mad. Sometimes sleeping on it is better than actually trying to stay up till 3 a.m. and working through disagreements is like, maybe you just need to sleep on it. And it may not be that big a deal in the morning when you wake up. But if it is, what she found was that happy couples were willing to just focus on it and make it work and not let things linger. One of the other things that they hang out together. They just like, they had the little sign language, little things there, and they realized that they'd hit the jackpot. They realized that they'd married, they'd outkicked their coverage, if you will. So, all right, thought we should wrap up today's show with a great old song from Wayne Watson. That's just one of those great tunes that's probably worth reflecting on a little bit, because it talks about just saying I love you.
The phone would be ringing all day. I keep thinking that these feelings would mellow with time, but not yet. No way. We've had our share. But a mystery keeps haunting me. How you hurt those you love, oh, somehow. But a real love expression is long.
Tell your spouse you love them. Can't say it enough. And join us tomorrow on Connecting Faith. It's Ask the Professor. You have a question, get it ready, and join us for the show tomorrow at noon.